Tonight, panic at the airport. A sudden emergency caught on camera. Police open fire as frightened passengers are evacuated. New details about what happened before the officer pulled the trigger. VP speculation swirling as Elizabeth Warren meets Hillary Clinton at her house, and Donald Trump goes on a tirade about Warren's, quote, nasty mouth. A billionaire's revenge forcing a powerful media empire into bankruptcy. Tonight, the wrestler, the tape, and the secret mission that exploded into a storm of controversy. And goodbye to the greatest. 100,000 line the route and a star-studded crowd packs the arena. A moving and memorable farewell to Muhammad Ali. Nightly news begins right now.
From NBC News World Headquarters in New York, this is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening. Police gunfire rang out at a Dallas airport this afternoon, sending some passengers scrambling for cover, others left standing in apparent disbelief. The moment captured on video played out just outside baggage claim at Dallas's Love Field. Officials say a police officer opened fire at a man who confronted him during a rock-throwing attack in what's being described as a domestic disturbance. NBC's Gabe Gutierrez has late details.
The gunfire erupted right outside baggage claim. A police officer firing at least 9 shots. While some travelers scatter on the sidewalk, others don't seem to realize what's happening.
Took me by surprise for sure.
Eyewitness Brian Armstrong shot that video on his cell phone.
I just seen a police run across the street with his gun drawn, and I looked to see where he was running to, and it was to an African-American man with dreads, and he had a rock in his hand. He told him to stop moving and put the rock down.
Attention, rescue 18, gunshot.
Police say it began as a domestic disturbance between the man and the mother of his children. Investigators say the man threw rocks at her car, smashing the windows, and then threatened the responding officer.
I mean, everybody was kind of stunned, you know, I took off after that, and everybody started pushing us up there, you know. It's pretty wild, pretty crazy.
Inside the airport, chaos. Some travelers panicked and jumped the security line. In cases like these, there's often concern the unfolding incident is meant to distract security personnel.
The airport has had to pull everybody back out of the secure area and recheck them for security.
Online, questions are now being raised about whether so much force was necessary. One person tweeting, did the cops shoot that guy 9 times for breaking a car window with a rock? Police say the suspect lunged at the officer, who has now been placed on administrative leave.
Parts of the shooting scene remain blocked off, but authorities have reopened most of Dallas Love to normal traffic. As for the suspect, he was rushed to the hospital with multiple gunshot wounds, and his condition has not yet been released. Lester.
All right, Gabe Gutierrez, thank you. To politics now, and fresh off her big endorsement of Hillary Clinton, all eyes tonight focused on Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren, a hero of the left, meeting behind closed doors today with Hillary Clinton. Also focused on Warren today, Donald Trump, launching a tirade against a woman who has shown no reluctance to tear into him. We have it all covered, starting with NBC's Andrea Mitchell in Washington. Andrea, busy day.
Good evening, Lester. It was a busy day. In a new fundraising email tonight, the Clinton campaign leaving no doubt about who their top 3 surrogates are. President Obama, Joe Biden, and with equal billing to them, liberal firebrand Elizabeth Warren, who I am being told tonight by campaign sources is among those being considered for vice president. Hillary Clinton, newly energized, surrounded by supporters at Planned Parenthood, unleashing on Donald Trump.
Do we want to put our health, our lives, our futures in Donald Trump's hands?
And the vice president, having given up his own dream, getting on board.
Whatever the next president is, and God willing, in my view, will be Secretary Clinton.
Clinton's cheeky response on Twitter tonight. Thanks, at VP Biden. Your support is a big deal. Her other new ally, Elizabeth Warren, endorsing Clinton on Rachel Maddow's show.
I am ready to get in this fight and work my heart out for Hillary Clinton to become the next president.
Could Clinton now be eyeing Warren as a running mate? The two meeting today at Clinton's home. The pros of picking Warren, she's a fiery speaker who relishes attacking Trump.
You, Donald Trump, are a total disgrace.
And a progressive who could win back Bernie Sanders supporters. The cons, Warren and Clinton are not close. have disagreed on issues. Here's Warren in 2004 charging Clinton as senator with switching sides on a bankruptcy bill to satisfy big banks.
She has taken money from the groups, and more to the point, she worries about them as a constituency.
And Clinton says her top priority is a vice president ready to take over if necessary. Some say Warren fails that test.
Elizabeth Warren is a wonderful, bright, passionate person, but with no experience in foreign affairs and not in any way, shape, or form ready to be commander-in-chief.
Asked if she could be commander-in-chief, Warren didn't hesitate.
I want to know if you think you could be.
Yes, I do.
But Clinton ducking the question about Warren as VP.
You guys have got to try the cold chop.
The buzz about Warren only growing. Andrea Mitchell, NBC News, Washington.
I'm Hallie Jackson in Washington. Prompters in place for the second straight speech. Donald Trump today staying on script, more disciplined, despite a protest. The controversial candidate.
We're going to build the wall, folks.
Trying to sound more inclusive.
Freedom of any kind means no one should be judged by their race or their color.
Trump also trying to show he can stay focused on a target, Hillary Clinton.
Hillary Clinton, or as I call her, Crooked Hillary Clinton.
But will Trump 2.0 stick? Tonight, new questions about his tone from his own party as he goes after Elizabeth Warren, calling her Pocahontas, referring to her claims of Native American ancestry. Warren firing back on Twitter, no, seriously, delete your account.
Any regrets on calling her Pocahontas, Mr. Trump?
None whatsoever.
But even some supporters want Trump to tone it down.
There are things I wish Mr. Trump would change what he says or change the tenor.
It's not just his tenor, it's his policy prowess, too. This stunningly blunt assessment from the Senate's top Republican.
It's pretty obvious he doesn't know a lot about the issues.
None of it phasing his backers.
I love his tone. That's why I support him.
Still, inside the party, growing concern what's worked so far may not now.
Primary's over, baby. Come on. You got to get with the game. And the game right now requires you to step into the role as presidential nominee for the GOP. Period.
And late tonight, Mitt Romney, a never-Trump leader, is revealing he won't vote for either Trump or Hillary Clinton. The presumptive GOP nominee is starting a battleground state swing. Virginia tonight, then Florida and Pennsylvania for rallies, where typically it's almost always classic Trump. No prompter and no filter. Lester?
All right, Hallie, thank you. Another kind of battle resulted in the takedown of a new media empire today by none other than Hulk Hogan and his billionaire backer. Gawker Media filed for bankruptcy protection and put the company up for sale after Hogan won a huge judgment against the company in a lawsuit. Joe Fryer tonight with the play-by-play.
As Hulk Hogan body slammed another giant, today the media powerhouse Gawker filed for bankruptcy.
Mr. Blay is exceptionally happy.
3 months after losing to the pro wrestling legend in court, the judgment, $140 million. Now Gawker is seeking a new owner while it appeals the ruling.
They don't have that much money. They want to keep operating. They think they will win this case in appeal.
Gawker says during the sale it will maintain normal operations, publishing news and opinion on technology, politics, and other interests to its 6 million readers each weekday.
Hulk Hogan was embarrassed.
Hogan was awarded the multi-million dollar judgment earlier this year after suing Gawker for posting excerpts from his sex tape. Last month, it was revealed that his lawsuit was funded by Peter Thiel, the Silicon Valley billionaire who was outed by Gawker in 2007. Speaking to the New York Times, Thiel called Gawker a singularly terrible bully with articles that ruin people's lives for no reason. He made it his mission to finance various lawsuits over the years in an effort to drive the media company out of business.
The flip side is the press says this is a terrifying precedent. What happens the next time we write something some other billionaire doesn't like? Are we going to go down this year or 10 years from now?
Today, Gawker Media CEO Nick Denton tweeted, even with his billions, Thiel will not silence our writers. Our sites will thrive under new ownership and will win in court. Hogan, whose real name is Terry Bollea, also took to Twitter, calling this a beautiful day. Well, his attorney says, we have every intention to continue to pursue our judgment against Gawker and to hold them accountable for violating Mr. Bollea's privacy. The company has already reached an agreement to sell its brands to the digital media publisher Ziff Davis, but under Chapter 11, other bidders can chime in. Gawker's future up for grabs. Joe Fryer, NBC News, New York.
An early morning jolt today for millions across Southern California, rocked out of bed by a 5.2 magnitude earthquake. It struck south of Palm Springs a little after 1 a.m. Pacific time. It was followed by a series of smaller aftershocks. Few reports of damage, but a strong reminder of what experts warn. It's only a matter of time till a big one hits. There's new pressure tonight aimed at removing that California judge who sentenced a former Stanford University student convicted of sexual misconduct to just 6 months in jail. More than 1 million people have signed petitions calling on California judicial authorities to take action against Judge Aaron Persky for what many view as his leniency in the case. They came from far and wide, tens of thousands of people honoring the life of Muhammad Ali today in Louisville, Kentucky. Hometown hero, sports and cultural icon, Ali was eulogized at a memorial attended by stars of sports, entertainment, and politics. Matt Lauer was there and has our report.
Ali! Ali! Thousands lined the streets of Louisville to say a final goodbye to the greatest. His image this morning seen all over the city he loved, which loved him right back.
He is the greatest.
The procession made its way down Muhammad Ali Boulevard, drove by the champ's childhood home, and past the center dedicated to his life's work. A private burial service was followed by the public memorial, where about 20,000 people filled the Louisville Yum Center. Family, friends, and strangers, both young and old, gathered to remember the boxing legend.
When I look into this crowd, I smile. I smile to recognize that he's not really gone. He lives in you, and he lives in me, and he lives in every person that he has touched in every corner of this world.
Ali's wife Lonnie and daughter Miriam both spoke.
As his voice grew softer, his message took on greater meaning.
As you enter your final round, God's last boxing bell will sound in heaven. I love you. We all love you.
The boxing champ turned political activist and humanitarian inspired people everywhere. Bryant Gumbel, Billy Crystal, and former President Bill Clinton delivered eulogies.
It is the choices that Muhammad Ali made that have brought us all here today in honor and love.
Decades ago, Ali nicknamed Crystal Little Brother, and the two remained close friends. We caught up with Crystal right after the service.
The feeling, Matt, of gratitude that we lived in his time, that this epic human being, with all of his heights and all of his lows and his frailties and his failures sometimes, he was a champion of the human spirit.
Muhammad Ali's legacy was celebrated today, not just by the famous faces who spoke.
I want to be a fighter just like him.
But by the millions around the world he inspired, both in and out of the ring.
Matt Lauer reporting from Louisville tonight. Still ahead tonight, after disappointment, even suicide, the Navy tries to do more to protect those who can't make it into the most elite unit. Also, final moments, the struggle to land a small plane that crashed, killing all on board. The skills possessed by Navy SEALs are legendary, and so is the difficulty of their training. But in the past 6 months, when two trainees died within hours of quitting the program, there were questions about whether the Navy is doing enough to support the 80% of young men who don't make it, for many of them ending a lifelong dream. With our partners at the Virginia Pilot, our senior investigative correspondent Cynthia McFadden has an exclusive interview with a heartbroken father making a plea to the Navy.
One, two.
To join the elite corps of Navy SEALs, you have to agree to be pushed to the limit.
I know I told you guys, get your hands off your knees and thighs tonight.
Maybe beyond it.
You go to the left.
Hell Week is just part of the grueling six-month program in Coronado, California. So physically and emotionally demanding that 80% of those who start don't finish. Last month, Daniel DelBianco was one of them. Just 7 hours after quitting the training, he killed himself, jumping off the roof of this 22-story hotel. His father, Steve, says the Navy failed his son.
The fault was that in the hours when he was most vulnerable, without any sleep, for over 50 hours, that he was left alone, unsupervised, and was actually allowed to leave the SEAL training compound on his own.
Let's go! Let's go!
So, is the Navy doing enough to protect the 4 out of 5 trainees every year who fail to achieve what for many is a lifelong dream? And that's more than 800 young men annually.
Your whole identity is wrapped around something that you thought you were, and now someone's telling you not.
Last fall, authorities say another trainee, Kaplan Weir, got in his truck drunk within hours of quitting. He crashed and died. Weir's mother says the Navy should never have left him alone. And while very few die, former SEALs admit many are broken.
The Navy quit on me. I didn't quit on the Navy, you know.
Kevin Haymeyer, seen here during his Hell Week training, passed out 3 times in 24 hours while his group marched with a 300-pound inflatable boat on their heads. He desperately wanted to go on.
I didn't want to quit. I knew it was either going to be injury or death.
That's how much you wanted to be a SEAL.
Yes, yes.
But Navy medics pulled the plug, and he contemplated suicide.
You have this utter hopelessness, and you feel like you let everyone down.
Steve DelBianco went to the Navy urging them to change. And the Navy now tells NBC News they will change. Students who dropped from training are now supervised by a staff member for a 24-hour recovery period. In that period, each sailor will be escorted at all times, and the required medical assessment now includes a mental status check. The DelBianco family says they hope no other family will go through what they have.
Danny would be alive today if the new student recovery procedures were available when Danny was in Hell Week.
Just 2 weeks ago, the DelBianco family spread Danny's ashes on the Coronado Beach, near where he once trained. Cynthia McFadden, NBC News, New York.
Tonight we're learning new details about a tragic plane crash that killed 3 people in a parking lot near an airport in Houston. Surveillance video shows the single-engine Cirrus was in a flat spin before the moment of impact, which we are not showing. Investigators said the control tower had told the aircraft it was too high and to go around and try to land again when the crash happened. Firefighters in Arizona are still trying to contain a big wildfire tonight. Some 400 of them now involved in that effort. The Tenderfoot Fire near Yarnell, Arizona, has burned more than 3,000 acres and forced the evacuation of several hundred people. This is the same area where a wildfire killed 19 firefighters back in 2013. It all went so fast, words spoken countless times by parents as the class of 2016 graduates from high school. And today the parents included the Obamas as their daughter Malia graduated, looking forward to a gap year and then on to Harvard. Peter Alexander tonight on how we have all watched her grow up.
They're called the first family for a reason, because family does come first, which explains why Malia Obama's dad, who's addressed countless graduations, today turned down an invitation to speak.
I'm going to be sitting there with dark glasses, sobbing. She's one of my best friends, and it's going to be hard for me not to have her around all the time.
That connection here on display, these photos inside the ceremony, our only glimpse of a father's pride. America first met Malia as a shy fifth grader, then on Access Hollywood, just imagining life in the White House.
My most excitement about it is that I get to redecorate my room. I enjoy decorating.
And cashing in on that campaign promise of a new puppy. While most students study presidents, Malia Obama lived with one. Many of her lessons experienced firsthand, traveling the globe, meeting those who changed history. Of course, being a teenager is never easy, especially when the whole country's watching.
I am going to publicly thank Malia and Sasha for once again standing here with me during the turkey pardon.
Still, Malia found a way to stay grounded with the help of her grandmother teaching chores at home, at school playing soccer, tennis, and the flute. Now, Malia's all grown up, finally prepared to leave her family behind.
I'm not going to talk about the fact that, you know, my daughter leaving me is just breaking my heart.
Even in a nest as big as the White House, graduating children still fly away. Peter Alexander, NBC News, Washington.
Been there, done that, Mr. President. That's going to do it for us on a Friday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching and good night.